In the winter of 2020 in Fort Valley, Georgia, university senior Anitra Gunn was looking forward to graduating. While still studying and working part-time, the thoughtful and hardworking 23-year-old was lining up job interviews and celebrating milestones with friends. All of this came to an abrupt end on Valentine's Day when friends began reporting strange messages received from Anitra's phone, followed by silence. Her distressed father rushed from Atlanta while a task force was formed to search for her. The sheriff declared that no stone would be left unturned as they put together all the pieces and sought justice for Anitra Gunn. Hi there, I'm Kevin, and welcome to Just Thought Lounge. Today's case is about a murder in Georgia just a few years ago that shook the local community to the core. It's a cautionary tale, one that resonates with many who have seen these warning signs before. Let's take a look. In the winter of 2020, 23-year-old Anitra Gunn was a senior at Fort Valley State University in Fort Valley, Georgia. She was a graduate of West Lake High School in Atlanta. After the death of her mother when she was still a child, Anitra and her younger brother had been raised by their father, Christopher Gunn. In 2016, Anitra had relocated to Fort Valley to study agriculture at FVSU. Between full-time study and a part-time job as a server at 1836 Restaurant and Lounge, Anitra kept busy. The fun-loving and kind-hearted senior also maintained an active social life, and she was always in contact with her family, including her father back in Atlanta. On the morning of February 14th, Valentine's Day, Anitra's best friend, Sierra Stewart, awoke late to a series of messages from her friend. The exchange began pleasantly. They sent Happy Valentine's Day greetings. But then Sierra began to receive a few uncharacteristic messages. Texts from her phone stated that she was looking to hook up with someone she just called dude. Anitra was known to be in only one relationship, an on-again and off-again romance with 22-year-old U.S. Army Sergeant DeMarcus Little. But her message implied it was someone else that she was about to meet up with. Sierra was supportive of her friend, and she was not a fan of DeMarcus Little. He was trouble, and their relationship was unstable. Over the next few hours, Sierra would grow increasingly more concerned for Anitra. By midday, she had been contacted by a mutual friend named David Howard. She knew him as Scoot. Had she heard from Anitra? Scoot asked. He had also been receiving strange messages from her that morning. And DeMarcus claimed he was no longer with her and had no idea where she was. Something was not right. Sierra phoned Christopher Gunn in Atlanta. Before he set out from Atlanta, Christopher Gunn requested a check on his daughter's home on West Church Street. Fort Valley police found no one at the house. Anitra's car, a 2013 white Chevy Cruze, was also missing. By that time, the strange messages from Anitra's phone had ceased. They began with texts to Scoot around 8:30 a.m., messages to Sierra about the unknown man between 10 and 11 a.m., and then the phone went quiet. Messages from concerned family and friends came in, but no responses were received. When Christopher arrived in Fort Valley, he formally filed a missing persons report. A task force was formed, consisting of the Fort Valley Police, the Peach County Sheriffs, and the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Anitra's last confirmed location was the house of her boyfriend's aunt on Chestnut Hill Road. The two had spent the night of February 13th at the house. He was the last person to see Anitra before she disappeared. Due to this, DeMarcus Little became a suspect to the media and the public immediately.
This is the last place she was seen Thursday night about 11:30.
Okay.
The aunt confirmed she was here with her boyfriend. It's the last place she was seen. So what we're doing today is basically we're fixing to search this house to make sure there's nothing there that we need to see. And we're just going to start from here and work our way out. We got the GSP helicopter flying the woods, just looking for anything we can find. Right now, everybody that knew her is a person of interest until we're kind of whittling that list down.
Has the boyfriend been questioned?
Yes, ma'am.
He's not in custody, is he?
No, ma'am.
The night before she went missing, Anitra attended a house party with a couple of girlfriends. When she left at roughly 11 p.m., however, she did so with one of her girlfriends, Tracy King, as well as her sometimes boyfriend, DeMarcus Little, and his good friend, Javon Abram. The group traveled to DeMarcus's home for a few hours. At some time past 2 a.m., Javon dropped Anitra and DeMarcus off at her house on West Church Street, so that she could retrieve her car. The couple separated from their other friends at that point and went to a Waffle House. Afterwards, they traveled back to the house on Chestnut to stay the night. DeMarcus told police that he last saw Anitra leaving at about 11:30 a.m. the next day. She told him that she had a job interview, so he assumed that was her destination when she left. Anitra did have an interview scheduled that day at 9:30 a.m., had she left the house when DeMarcus claimed she had, she would have already been 2 hours late. 22-year-old DeMarcus Little was picked up outside of the house and brought in for questioning. His vehicle, a 2019 black Toyota Corolla with red pinstripes, was towed off the property for a forensic examination. DeMarcus was an Army sergeant who had grown up in Fort Valley. He joined the Army back in 2016, but in December 2019 had moved to Fort Eisenhower, at the time known as Fort Gordon, in Augusta. There, he worked as a unit supply specialist. He and Anitra had been an item for some time. At first, it had seemed to be a great match. DeMarcus, just like Anitra, had lost his mother when he was young. He was raised by his father and stepmother. He had two sisters whom he adored and a generally close-knit family.
Can you use one word to describe
him? Just
loving.
Loving.
Very.
With a burgeoning career in the military, DeMarcus appeared, on paper, to be a great catch. But as investigators began speaking with those closest to Anitra, they learned that the relationship had been a toxic one for months. This view was not shared by those close to DeMarcus.
Because they said they
don't know, but it's God got this. God, he the judge and the jury.
When you're innocent, you stain.
You guys think he's innocent?
Yes, no doubt. We know.
It's a fact, baby.
Very close relationship with her. She was just like a niece to me.
Anitra's 2013 white Chevy Cruze was located only a few blocks away from her house, its front bumper missing. There was mud and other debris stuck to the tires. Just the day before, Javon had collected his friend DeMarcus from a location nearby and had pointed out the car to him. "Isn't that Anitra's car?" he asked. DeMarcus blew him off. "Of course it wasn't," he said. Her wallet and keys were inside the vehicle. Curiously, her cell phone was not. Processing of the car found DeMarcus's finger and palm prints inside and on the trunk. An examination of his vehicle similarly returned DNA from Anitra. Given that the two had been romantically linked for months, these results were not surprising. What was unexpected was DeMarcus's claim, made 24 hours into the search for his ex-girlfriend, that he just remembered that Anitra had accidentally shared her phone location with him the day before. He said her device had pinged not far from her home on West Church. It showed at a location on South Camellia Boulevard. When Officer Whitehead of the Fort Valley Police checked his device for this information, however, he found that was not the case. Her phone had actually pinged roughly 5 minutes further south of Camellia Road, on Carver Drive. There, tucked into the end of a drainage pipe, police retrieved Anitra's cell phone. The county, city, and state task force continued their search, spanning from Chestnut Drive through rain and shine. When the weather turned rough, they kept the helicopters out of the air, but deputies continued to navigate dense areas of woodland on the ground. A Peach County Sheriff's deputy was patrolling the area when he spotted a path leading off of the main roadway, which appeared to have been disturbed by a vehicle driving down it towards the trees. He got out of his car and explored the path on foot. A few minutes into the walk, there were more indications of a vehicle swiping nearby trees and damaging the vegetation. Under a light covering of tree limbs and other brush, the deputy discovered the body of a young woman. It had been poorly concealed amongst the trees. Near to the deceased were damaged car parts, namely part of a bumper from what appeared to be a 2013 white Chevy Cruze.
Today at 3:19, deputies and members of the task force were out riding because of the weather. We couldn't get the helicopter up, so they were just riding, looking. We had an idea of the bushes and sticks that were in the front of the grill of her car. So the deputies were kind of looking for those areas. The area he found her at, he saw something similar, a little roadway going down into the woods, rode down in to the car, wouldn't go anymore because of the rain. About 150 yards off the roadway, he found the piece of the car, part of the car piece that we've been looking for, found Miss Gunn laying very close to part of that front bump.
Do you have any persons of interest?
I think it's pretty common sense who our person of interest is.
Can you say it though out loud?
It's the boyfriend. I mean, we've talked to him 3 times.
An autopsy would find that Anitra had been strangled. There were also indications that she had been struck at least once in the head and that her body had likely been dragged into the position where she was found. On Wednesday, February 19th, only a few days after Anitra was located, DeMarcus Little was arrested. However, he was not, at that stage, charged with murder. Property was damaged at Anitra's house roughly 2 weeks before she was killed. It was on this charge that he was arraigned. At about 3 a.m. on February 5th, Anitra and her friend Scoot, who was staying over at the house, were both awoken by a loud shattering noise. Initially believing that one of the pets had caused the disturbance, they ignored it. The next morning, after Scoot walked home, Anitra called the police to report that the tires on her car had been slashed and bricks had been thrown through 2 windows of the house. She told law enforcement that she did not know who could have done it, though it was actually the second time that someone had pierced her tires in the night.
Your signer is a person of interest, also
that's
Anitra's death. What do you
have
to tell people?
Basically, you know, we're here today for granted bond hearing for criminal damage to property. And we're just glad that he was granted bond for that particular matter. And also he can get back to his career in the United States Army. But before, it just hurt me to see him come in and shock us like that, like he's a criminal. My son's never done anything anymore. He didn't do this incident. I can sympathize with the family, I truly do. I have daughters. I even have one in college that and something like that would happen to her, I would be devastated. But my son didn't do this. He was raised the right way. He's not violent, never been in a fight, never having a criminal background. He's a good kid, a good soldier, serving our country proudly.
Does it annoy you that he's a person of interest?
It mostly annoys me how certain media and social media and certain people in society have destroyed him and slammed his name. They don't really know the real DeMarcus Little. The real DeMarcus Little is a very humble young man. He made sergeant 3 years in the United States Army. He doesn't have anything on his background, any blemishes, nothing. Nobody can't say nothing bad about my son. He's been here on this earth 22 years and can't no one say anything terrible about my son.
DeMarcus eventually admitted to police that he had slashed Anitra's tires and thrown bricks at her house. He had reacted in a rage when he discovered that she had a man staying overnight. Throughout this, he maintained his innocence of the murder. The Army sergeant was offered a $10,000 bond and release with an ankle monitor, but he would be charged with malice murder only hours later, before he could be released from the county jail. And he wasn't alone. His longtime friend, Javon Abram, was arrested as well, on two counts of giving false statements to law enforcement and one count of concealing a death. When DeMarcus went to trial in March 2022 at a Peach County courthouse, it was his former friend who he had claimed was like a brother to him who had become the star witness.
Javon will tell you that DeMarcus Lewis then struck Anitra, hit her, and choked her. Choked her to death.
Defense attorney Benjamin Davis argued that DeMarcus Little was not the kind of person who could commit murder. He was an upstanding and humble man, a soldier serving his country. Conversely, prosecutor Neil Halverson described an at times toxic relationship between DeMarcus and Anitra, filled with control, threats, manipulation, and possessiveness on his part. The romance that had first appeared so perfect on paper had become a nightmare from which Anitra could not escape. Days at trial were spent reading the couple's messages, exchanged over months leading up to her death. Anitra described him as an evil, manipulative person. Anitra wrote that she was tired of DeMarcus's threats and abuse. She tried to distance herself from him, but over and over again, he worked his way back in. His messages repeatedly accused Anitra of being with another man. On November 1st, Anitra wrote that they should stop speaking to each other altogether. She told him that every time they talk, she ends up being manipulated. Days later, DeMarcus threatened suicide. He blamed her for pushing him to that point. Then he went silent for hours as Anitra reached out, concerned for his welfare. Eventually, DeMarcus replied to Anitra, telling her that his attempt on his life did not work. But his manipulative tactics did. Within days of this alleged attempt on his life, the line of communication between the two reopened. On Anitra's birthday in November, he told her that he was sparing the man that he believed she was going out with that night. The two had broken up at that point. Nonetheless, DeMarcus threatened any man he believed she was spending time with. He even sent her a screenshot of a message he wrote to an unknown individual, offering them $200 to harm Anitra's alleged date. He told her, "We're going to have problems if you go out with him, OMM, on my mama." At times, he threatened her life directly, stating that his mercy has limits after he accused her again of texting with another man. David Scoot Howard was a barber across the street from the 1836 restaurant and lounge where Anitra worked as a server. The 21-year-old lived in his family home only a few doors down from Anitra's house on West Church Street. Scoot told the jury that on the morning of February 14th, he was at home and he realized that he may have left his second cell phone at Anitra's house the night before. Scoot needed the phone for work, so he messaged Anitra, asking if she could look for it. The response he received back was bizarre. The text from Anitra's phone said to send his location and she would drive over to him at his house. Scoot testified that his home was so close to Anitra's that if he were to stand at the end of his driveway, he could clearly see Anitra's front door. She knew where he lived, and she certainly did not need to drive.
When you're getting this message, what were you thinking?
He did say her. Okay.
He tried calling her, but she didn't pick up. Scoot received messages stating that she just couldn't talk at the moment. Then, to add to his confusion, the following message seemed to be trying to break up with him. "That was fine," he said, but the two were not involved. Scoot said they had only hung out a couple of times. He hesitated to even categorize them as friends because they were just getting to know each other. When the person with her phone asked again for his address, he responded that he wanted no part in whatever was going on.
Does it look like she's trying to break up with you?
Yeah, it like we go together, but it wasn't like that.
By this time, Scoot was standing outside of his house. The person with Anitra's phone said they were on their way to him and to wait out front. He watched as a 2019 black Toyota Corolla with red pinstripes circled the block, 5 or maybe 6 times. Concerned, he messaged Sierra Stewart. He informed her of the strange messages coming from Anitra's phone and texted over the license plate number of the black Corolla. Police would later match this tag to DeMarcus Little's vehicle. On the afternoon of Sunday, February 16th, Javon Abram and DeMarcus Little left church together and went for a drive. While in the car, Javon told the jury that DeMarcus freely confessed to him that he had strangled Anitra in the night. He had poured his heart out to her, he said. He told her that they were soulmates and how much he loved her. In response, he said, she had laughed at him. In the moments that followed, he claimed to have blacked out. The next morning, he had disposed of her body in the woods.
And I was telling my heart last time that I was talking to her. And she was like, trying to tell her how I feel, how, you know, how much I love her and stuff. He was like, she ended up laughing in my face. He was like, Brian, I don't know what happened. Brian's blacked out. And I was like, that was you. And he was like, when he was like, after that, like, he just grabbed me and started choking me.
Yeah.
At one time, she just stopped fighting. So he felt like she had wanted to be home or she wanted to go where I want. So he.
He told you that he had poured his heart out to Anitra, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And that Anitra had laughed at him, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And that he had hit her?
Yes, ma'am.
And that he started to choke her?
Yes, ma'am.
And that she fought at first, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And then he said to you that it looked like she just gave up because she wanted to be with her mother?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's her mother who's dead.
Yes, ma'am.
Javon came to realize that the following day, when he had picked up his friend near to where Anitra's car would be found, that he had assisted in covering up the murder. DeMarcus told him that he had placed her in the trunk of her car and then drove out towards Crawford County. The front bumper fell off in the rough terrain. Then he drove back to Fort Valley and parked the car a few blocks from her house. From that area, he called Javon for a ride, telling him at the time that the Chevy Cruze with the missing bumper could not have been his ex-girlfriend's car. DeMarcus told Javon that he kept Anitra's cell phone with him that morning, later disposing of it inside of a drainage pipe. Javon recounted how they drove out to Greer Road at the Peach County-Crawford County line where Anitra had been left. There, he saw her body. In a state of shock, he refused to get out of the vehicle. DeMarcus retrieved part of the Chevy Cruze's front bumper, which sat nearby, and asked Javon to help him push it into the trunk. They drove it further out and disposed of it in a ditch off of another roadway. That portion of the bumper was eventually located in the area where Javon stated it would be. Further corroborating the friend's story was cell phone location data, both his device and DeMarcus's phone, which corresponded to the movements in Javon's version of events. This data did not correspond to the story that DeMarcus Little would tell the jury. Assistant District Attorney Don Baskin grilled DeMarcus on the inconsistencies between his story and the cell phone data. Location data placed him traveling from his aunt's home at 420 Chestnut to where Anitra was found off of Greer Road at the county line on Valentine's Day. DeMarcus testified that his transaction data and location tracking on either side of the hour he was in the woods was accurate. But he was never in the area where Anitra was found dead.
So every single cache location that we just talked about accurately showed where you were.
That was my whereabouts, but I went where I drove. Yes, ma'am.
So those same cache locations show at 103, you driving on Tanglewood Road, headed toward Greer Road. Is that correct?
No, ma'am.
So your phone went offline at that point?
Yeah, I know where I went.
And then those same cache locations, which were right from noon until 1 o'clock and from 2:20 for the rest of the day, they then show you in the woods off Greer Road, correct?
No.
They don't show you there?
I wasn't in the woods.
No, that wasn't my question. My question was, is do those cache locations, which you just testified were absolutely accurate with regards to your whereabouts between 12 and 1 and 2:20 to the rest of the night, those same cache locations show you in the woods off Greer Road, don't they?
Those were inaccurate.
Just those?
Yes.
And your phone shows you going from 420 Chestnut Hill Road to the woods off Greer Road. Isn't that what happened, sir?
No.
And you got back in Anitra's car and you drove it over ditches and trees, causing the bumper to fall off, causing everything else to break apart, and you dumped your soulmate like garbage in the middle of the woods, didn't you, sir?
No, ma'am.
Just like your phone said you did. And then you drove back down her beaded car with a missing bumper and the missing wheel well, and you dumped her car just like you dumped her at the corner of Bell and Montrose, didn't you, sir?
No, ma'am.
Just like your phone said you did.
No, ma'am.
So your phone is lying.
I am getting what, ma'am.
I don't think it's necessary.
DeMarcus's timeline became exceptionally confused when he attempted to explain where he was later in the morning of the 14th. At first, he told police that he had been at home around 11:30 a.m. when Anitra left his aunt's house on Chestnut. His messages at that time to Sierra, however, stated that he was out looking for Anitra. David Scoot Howard also spotted his car circling the block in Fort Valley around the same time.
What were you doing driving in your car, circling the block around where David Howard lived between 11:30 and 12:15?
I told you I went before.
Why? Because she left you 5 minutes before.
Because I want to see this between.
So when Anitra left, you followed her?
I don't remember the exact time, but
that's so hard, isn't it? You just told the jury a few minutes ago that you were actually just hanging out at the house. That didn't answer my question, sir. My question to you was, what did you do between 11 a.m. and 12:15?
I can't remember that.
You can't remember what you were doing?
I know I was at the house.
Okay. And so when you say, I'll be back, you actually did leave the house then, correct?
Just
okay. And you did get in your car and you did drive repeatedly by David Howard's address. Correct?
No, his exact address. I drove around the location.
And you were doing that with Anitra's phone, correct?
No, ma'am.
It's weird because Anitra was texting David Howard at the exact same time. You're driving around asking where he is and what he looks like. You know, weird. It's like a coincidence.
That's what the word we used before.
You ever heard the old saying, the simplest explanation is usually the truth?
No.
The jury deliberated for about 3 hours. They had three counts to consider: malice murder, felony murder, and aggravated assault. If the jury came to the conclusion that DeMarcus had killed Anitra in a rage, they could apply the second count, which is appropriate if the killer acted without intent. Either murder count has the potential to carry the same sentence.
Count one, malice murder, did the jury find DeMarcus Devante Little not guilty? For count two, felony murder, read the jury find DeMarcus Devante Little guilty. Count three, aggravated assault, read the jury find DeMarcus Devante Little guilty.
Speaking about the case publicly following the verdict, Assistant District Attorney Don Baskin described the concerns the state had held when selecting jurors to hear the case. At the time, there was worry that some in the jury pool would be unable to place the blame for what had occurred squarely at the feet of the abuser. The victim had indeed returned to him on a number of occasions despite his progressively more volatile behavior. Baskin described the process like a frog in a pot of slowly boiling water. Had Anitra been thrown right into the abuse, she would have jumped right out. But as time went on, the manipulation became an incremental cycle, finally escalating to very serious and violent threats that would have otherwise have been enough for her to get out and seek help.
The picture that we wanted to paint was that despite the frustrating nature of domestic violence, especially from those of us that are sitting on the outside, that is to never give up, to keep fighting, to remind the individual who's in the cycle that they're in a dangerous pot of water, and that it's going to come to a boil.
The state requested what they deemed the only appropriate sentence for Anitra Gunn's murder: life without the possibility of parole. The judge agreed. In March of 2022, DeMarcus Little was sent to prison for the rest of his natural life. That was the tragic case of Anitra Gunn. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Kevin. This is Just Thought Lounge, and I'll see you in the next one.
When the scene plays, tell me who the scream saves. I can hear the cries repeat. Gotta take my time, cause these crimes get deep, but these stories can't hide. Let me find my seat. Kevin, go ahead and settle in. Gotta be selective, doing all the research, keeping it objective, always been effective. Can say he got a knack, pick of the litter. You see how Newton got his back. Yeah, the content that you need, this could be a new sign. We talk in the comments, they jot in a few lines. Tune in and hit like, love that, it's too kind. Feels like the whole world is online for true crime.